ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्वा नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे We're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, 18, and text number 3. And the chapter is entitled The Residence of Jambudweep of Her Prayers. So first we'll go through the text number 3, and it's on the board. So responsibly, Aho Vichitram Bhagavat Vicheshtitam Gnanantam Jano Yam Hi Mishan Na Pashyati Jayan Asad Yahi Vikarma Sevitum Nirritya Putram Pitaram Vijijavasi Sorry Vijivasati Now let's do that one more time. Aho Vichitram Bhagavat Vicheshtitam Gnantam Jana Am I on the right place? 63, yes. Mishan Pashyati Jayan Asat Yahi Vikarma Sevitum Nivritya Putram Jijivasati Translation, or do you want to do word by word? Anybody would like to do? No? Word. Translation. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property. And if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he needlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. The purport by Srila Prabhupada. Material happiness means to have good facilities for eating, sleeping, sexual intercourse, and defense. Within this world, the materialistic person lives only for these four principles. of sense gratification, not caring for the impending danger of death. After his father's death, a son tries to inherit his money and use it for sense gratification. Similarly, one whose son dies tries to enjoy the possessions of his son. Sometimes the father of a dead son even enjoys his son's widow. Materialistic persons behave in this way. Thus, Sukadeva Goswami says, how wonderful are these pastimes of the material happiness transacted by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, materialistic persons want to commit all kinds of sinful activities, but without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can do anything. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? The Supreme Lord does not want any living being to act sinfully, and he begs him through his good conscience to refrain from sin. But when someone insists, upon acting sinfully, the Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to act at his own risk. Mata smritye jnanam apohanam cha. No one can do anything without the sanction of the Lord, but he is so kind that when the conditioned soul persists in doing something, the Lord permits the individual soul to act at his own risk. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sons always outlive their fathers in other planetary systems and other lands in this universe, especially in Swargaloka. However, on this planet, Earth, a son often dies before his father, and the materialistic father is pleased to enjoy possessions of his son. Neither the son nor the father can see the reality that both of them are awaiting death. When death comes, however, all their plans for material enjoyment are finished. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktavinda Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So, in this short verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's actually a wealth of information, or information which is so important that it should occupy a large part of our consciousness and our living and day-to-day activities. What is being pointed out here is that people who are materialistic, they will basically stoop to any level to enjoy sense gratification. The father is willing to accept his dead son's wife as a partner, and alternatively, the son enjoys illicitly. So This is fairly typical. It's not at all unusual. And it's indicative of the lack of morality, lack of religious principles, and self-esteem. But particularly, there is no empathic feeling that there is a right and there is a wrong. And in this way, the whole society in the world today, it's a me-first generation. You know, and nobody else matters, only my needs need to be taken care of. So, this generates a society which people have no feeling for each other. And there are millions of examples of this in the daily news. I just will recite one typical example which was quite notable in the area I was living in. And it was about a wealthy woman. She was very wealthy, living in a very nice area, secure house. She had plenty of money and a car, but she was a widow. Her father, her husband had died. So when her daughter grew up, the daughter naturally assumed the lifestyle of the American youth, and she quickly got a boyfriend. The boyfriend was a very clever fellow, not so clever actually, but he saw his opportunity, and so he moved in with this girl. He became the boyfriend. She quickly became pregnant. And they thought this is life is not interesting enough. They need lots of money. So at the tender age of about 13 or so, this boy and girl, this is a true story, the mother was keeping a gun. I think it was a gun belonging to her husband, her former husband. So they found the gun. They got the bullets and they shot the mother. And then they took off in the car. They didn't know where they were going. They just wanted to get away and go away somewhere and enjoy their life together with lots of money. So this is not unusual in this day and age. People are like that, especially young folks who are brought up without any regulative principles and no self-control. And of course, they were quickly caught, and now they're spending a good part of their life in jail. So this is fairly typical. There are so many other cases. There was one more case I just quickly recite. There was a lady in California. She was, later on, she was dubbed as the Black Widow. Her lifestyle was to marry very rich men and then somehow cleverly kill them off without getting caught as to what, without being found out as to what the cause of the death was. So she managed to do it with two husbands. She became fabulously rich, and finally, she thought she'd marry again. Of course, that marriage was for the purpose of getting a victim. Maybe she was running out of money. But by that time, the investigative wing of the law had improved their DNA and other types of detection systems. And this lady, she did her little trick again. She shot her husband, or she killed him, or poisoned him. And this time she got caught, and then she ended up in lifetime prison. So this is the type of person that you can expect to find in the material world, either on a big scale or on a low, on a little scale. There was a case recently right here in Hulagat. Two little children were captured and taken away by thieves. And these people were capturing children for organ donations. And these two children, poor children, they got sacrificed for that purpose. And later they were found just lying in a ditch somewhere in Krishnanagar. So this type of people who have no feeling, have no empathy for anybody except for themselves, they can be found everywhere. Even in ISKCON, ISKCON has had its tragedies, especially with children in the past. We don't need to enumerate that, but it is a history. And it's something which we all need to learn about and be aware of. This lack of empathy is a demonic quality, and you can see it in history. Those who are reading Bhakti Shastri, they would probably have studied the dice match that took place with the Pandavas, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and eventually Draupadi, she gets pulled into the assembly, and Duryodhan and Dushasan, they try to disrobe her. We know the story that Krishna comes to her aid and saves her. But this is another classic example of people totally without empathy. Now, on the opposite side of the scale, in Krishna consciousness, we are so fortunate. Srila Prabhupada has given us access to the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the embodiment of kindness, and he is ready to save the whole world. All of the people in Kali Yuga, he states that he has come to deliver all of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. So you can just imagine what a load of sinful activity that is. The whole of Kali Yuga, all of the people of Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to deliver them. So this is quite something, something extraordinary. That we are allowed to participate in that. Many of us have come from bad backgrounds, some from good backgrounds, but all of us have got the same blessing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he's not just here in Mayapur, he's everywhere, all over the world. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara gaya guru hana tarai desh. His message is to save the fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. And this is very important because time is running out. The wealthy countries of the world are amassing huge armaments. They have huge banking systems which can gobble up whole countries at a time, and they want to possess the whole world. They are similarly constructing bunkers for themselves, so that when the final curtain comes down, that they'll be safe inside, and they'll be able to get up to a world without any unnecessary people to take care of, because they'll all be dead. So these things are actually a reality. So we have to be prepared for this kind of craziness that goes on in the world. But at the same time, as devotees, we have to be emblems of kindness representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the great assets that we have in ISKCON is that we're not alone at any time. That there is a system which has been in place since the beginning of time, that amongst all of the devotees within our sampradaya, that there are senior devotees and junior devotees, and there are gurus within our society. So the whole idea is that as a devotee, we may be struggling in some way or other, but we can take shelter of a spiritual master, and in that way we instantly get contact with the Acharya and the previous with the founder Acharya and all of the previous Acharyas. We have their blessing and we can become their associate and servant. So this is very wonderful. We're not alone. The spiritual master is someone who is very eager to see disciple advance and to get rid of all kinds of anattas. These anattas, eating meat, fish and eggs, not following the regulative principles, all of these things are a stumbling block sometimes for new devotees. So in Krishna consciousness, we encourage people to come up to that high standard of being able to follow those principles. And then when that is established, younger devotees can accept a spiritual master. And then they advance very, very quickly to a higher stage of Krishna consciousness. So, it's amazing that in Krishna consciousness, how ISKCON is able to transform non-devotees into devotees. I personally know some disciples of Srila Prabhupada who were butchers before. Literally, they had their own butcher shop and they would be chopping the meat and selling it. And after reading Prabhupada's books, they gave it all up. Just gave it away. And I know another devotee, he was a... his father ran an abattoir. Abattoir is a place where they kill animals, chop them up, and sell them. So his father, he ran an abattoir, and this boy, he assisted in the running of the abattoir. You will not like to believe it, but this devotee, he told me personally, he said, when I was working for my father, I used to drink a pint of blood every day. It's pretty horrible, but he did. And he became Prabhupada's disciple. And Krishna saved him, Prabhupada saved him from the most abominable future. So, we the devotees, we can easily drink a pint of milk, cow's milk, willingly. But we'll not touch the cow, ever. She's our mother. So, this quality of empathy has to develop amongst the devotees. And that is best achieved through the guru system. That there is somebody there to not only answer your scriptural problems, but your personal problems also. And that is very much wanted. I have personally seen in ISKCON many devotees. They needed somebody to talk to. They needed somebody to reveal their weaknesses or their doubts. And so we're all human beings, and the whole idea is that through the association of devotees we can become very, very strong, and we can give our association to others. So that is a primary development, or that's going on in ISKCON. So I have some notes here which perhaps I can elaborate on. There's a very nice verse. I'm sure some of you know this verse. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajitaha anatmanastushatrudvevatetatmaivashatruvat. The mind is, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. And for one who has failed to do so, his mind is the greatest enemy. So this verse in Bhagavad Gita is fundamental, absolutely fundamental to making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Practically all the problems that devotees experience is because they cannot control the mind. They come from a past, perhaps, where the previous images of sense gratification will stay within their mind for for many years, and very hard to get rid of those images from the mind. Similarly, any other kind of bad association, it can be eliminated by the association of devotees. Never underestimate the association of the devotees, especially the association of the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is directly connected to the parampara and the founder acharya of Srila Prabhupada. All of the shakti of the previous acharyas can be transmitted through the spiritual master, who might appear to be an ordinary person to you and me, but that person can transmit the shakti of the previous acharyas and give it to that devotee. And so this is not some kind of we just mutual appreciation society or something like that. The gurus and the disciple is not appreciation society, but it's a very real system whereby devotees can advance very fast simply with the association of their devotee with their spiritual master. So I just had some more notes. Let's see if I can squeeze something out of here. Well, I think I've come to the end of my notes. If anybody has any question, so please raise your hand, see if we can answer a question or two. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. Can you maybe give us some advice about controlling the mind from your practical experience, from your life? What you are using? We know from Bhagavad Gita what Krishna says. So if you can maybe help us how we are applying how to control the mind.
How we are...
What is your experience, how you are controlling the mind? If you can help us, give us some advice.
The best controller of the mind is chanting of the holy name. That is unquestionably the best way to control the mind. And how to chant properly? Try to find somebody who is chanting with great ecstasy and great attention. Find somebody and find out his secrets. So that way you have to make a relationship with that person. If he's a reasonable devotee, he will tell you that the chanting of the holy name is the cause of all purification. And it takes time. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, Prabhupada, how long does it take to chant without offense? So this is a question we would all like to hear the answer to. You know, how long is it going to take me to be free from offenses? And Prabhupada answered, well, it takes about 30 years. So it's a slow and steady process, but it's real. So we have to have joy in chanting the holy name of the Lord. We must experience joy. So we should practice chanting with joy. And even if we, this, like they say, if you can't make it, just fake it, you know, because sooner or later you'll be smiling while chanting, and you'll be completely absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and that will come about as a reality in your life. The holy name is meant for purification of fallen souls. So why don't we take shelter of the holy name? A lot of devotees don't chant with attention. This is, I've seen downstairs in the big hall, the Japa area, in the morning, people are not, they're having conversations, they're looking at their watch, they're checking email. They're not chanting with attention. So this you're wasting your time if you're not chanting with attention. It's just so many alphabets, like this. So what is the point of that? Chant while thinking of Krishna, trying to appreciate Krishna's wonderful qualities, his mercy, his kindness. If you can't think of Krishna, then you can sit in front of the deity and chant. And if you can't sit in front of the deity, you can have a book, like a Krishna book or something, one of the nice pictures of Krishna, and gaze at these pictures lovingly while you're chanting. You can use these different things, techniques, to assist your chanting. So that I would go for, you know, the first place to go to advance quickly in Krishna consciousness is through chanting. The thing about chanting is only you know how you're chanting, really. I don't know how you chant, you don't know how I chant, but I know what my result of chanting is. You know what your result of chanting is. And as you chant more sincerely, with more love for Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate. He's there in the heart. So Krishna will reciprocate with the devotee who is trying earnestly to love him. That is my answer for that question. Any other question? I have a finger over there.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your nice class about the control the mind. How can help devotees in different temples How can help to devotees in different temple with the devotee chanting around the temple by the Mangalarti? This is properly chanting or what you can help to devotees like that?
So your question was if people are walking around the temple while they're chanting?
In Mangalarti, chanting around.
Oh, Mangalarti.
In Mangalarti, I saw some devotees chanting. How you can help the devotees? This is properly chanting or good chanting. Also in the class when I go different temple, the devotees giving class, and some devotees chant the Hare Krishna.
They're this chanting with japa class.
In the class.
Yes.
How this is good or this is how can you help the devotees? Or maybe it's good for him and chanting in this time. How Prabhupada? How your experience is, how Prabhupada is explained in some books about this system. Is good system or is very bad system?
Okay, so far as I understood your question is that people are chanting while walking around and during Bhagavatam class or Mangalarti. Bhagavatam class. This, I think they're trying to double up, you know. They're trying to get the benefit of going to the Mangalarti and getting the japas, the japa done at the same time. I wouldn't advise this. If my advice to you is, I am not at all a good example. So I am not pushing myself as an example, but I can tell you frankly that you can never get any benefit from your chanting if you're trying to do something else at the same time. Don't try to do that. Try to do chant only. You can, within the mind, you can think of Krishna, you can remember the picture of Krishna, or you can see the picture of Krishna. Like I said, you can see the deity of the Lord. But don't mix your chanting with other stuff. Now, people do, when they got extra rounds to chant, they go out in the field, on the pathways, when there's nobody there, they can chant. That also is nice. That's okay. But not during Bhagavatam class or, you know, Mangalarti or anything like that. I don't know who these people are, but they're missing the point. It's actually offensive. Not so heavily offensive, but I would think it's offensive against the holy name to some extent, a little bit.
But how you can speak to him, if he is elder or no elder, how you can speak and help to him for not do this?
Well, I wish I had an answer for that, but frankly, I don't like to come up to devotees and, you know, use what little authority I have. I'm a senior devotee, listen to me. I don't do that. So I'd like to set the example. I try to set the example. That's what I think is best. I don't know if somebody else has a better answer than that. Gyana Gambia?
If you don't chant these rounds that you chant while Mangalarti or in Srimad Bhagavatam class, then it's all right. And also we have to understand that Nam Bas, even offensive chanting, liberates us.
Yeah.
But that's very important to understand for devotees because we are so very inattentive in so many different points in our chanting.
Hmm.
So most of us are not on a platform of loving Krishna, and that seems almost, because of our selfish nature, because of our fallen condition, it seems almost impossible that we can get to that point. However, we can take shelter of the holy name. That is the idea, that although I have no love for Krishna, this holy name is giving me shelter from so many material miseries. Intelligent person realizes that this material world is a place of misery and that he's suffering on so many different accounts, so many different ways, so many diseases. In my own body right now, I seem to have several different diseases going on. Not just one, you know. If you cure one, two more come, like that. So the objective of this chanting at this stage, at this miserable stage we're in, is simply to relieve our material misery. And that may sound, that sounds selfish and so forth, but ultimately developing love of God is the relief of all these miseries. Once one is in that transcendental position of actually being a lover of Krishna, of being 100% committed to Krishna, then he no longer has any difficulty. I remember one devotee telling me on Sankirtan that, yes, we chant while we're driving, but we don't count those rounds, you know. So the idea is to chant constantly. If you're chanting constantly, even in Bhagavatam class or in Mangal Arati, although I don't agree that chanting in Mangal Arati is very, very beneficial, or at least it's a bad example, perhaps. But in Bhagavatam class, you know, I've been chastised before and so forth, but I tend to think that it's better to just double up on my, as you say, double up on my concentration. Both the holy name is in my mind and what you're saying is in my mind. And that's it.
Okay, thank you for your opinion, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Any other question? There's somebody, one lady over there.
Hare Krishna. I think you wrote before and you missed that point. We had some family friend and call asked us a few days ago. There's their family, because the subject was mostly about death. So I just want to tell the death thing. There's 26 years old boy, 28 years old boy, like a few days, stroke attack and they die. So they don't know that this young, they will die, or they wanted to be Krishna conscious or want to be whatever. So my point is, in the family life, everybody, each other, stay as a loving, because if some death comes, when, who doesn't know? And then you feel sorry, you didn't say something. A person is gone. If you say something bad thing you do, you don't say sorry to that person. So everybody should be, even our society, Prabhupada made such a great mission to everybody cooperate, everybody work, and everybody have bhavana to seva bhavana. Always should be consciousness to Krishna service. That's it. And love Krishna and love Mahaprabhu. Then even death come, you will happily can go Krishna loka. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. She's correct. We had so many topics that I wanted to speak on, but it all fell apart when I looked at the book. It happens like that, you just cannot, the plan which you made for speaking doesn't always work out. Any other questions? Prabhu?
Regarding your chanting during the other activities, can you maybe recall that Srila Prabhupada would recommend that we should chant during other activities like Bhagavatam or Mangala? Or did somebody dare to do that during Prabhupada present when he was giving class and somebody would be chanting his japa during that time?
During what?
When Srila Prabhupada was giving class.
Yes.
Did you ever see that somebody would be chanting japa during that time?
I have never seen that on a video, and certainly the classes that I attended with Prabhupada, it was pin drop silence. Nobody would think of doing something. Maybe the ladies, they did some sewing, and some of the ladies, they might have had a child. And if the child was noisy, both the mother and the child would have to sit outside. But otherwise, there was no activity in the temple room while Srila Prabhupada was speaking, giving his class. Never, to my knowledge. Is he Prabhu?
Uh, During Prabhupada's stay with us, I had several classes that I attended with Prabhupada, and I didn't see anyone chanting japa, loudly anyway. But I did see many people falling asleep. So of the two, I take the choice to, you know, finger my beads, chant silently, Hare Krishna.
Falling asleep during Srila Prabhupada's class when you're sitting right in front of him, that is, I don't know, that's some very bad luck.
I referenced the story, I think, a number of devotees told about Prabhupada Janmashtami. He was chanting, he was reading from Krishna book, and he went on and on until about 1:30 in the morning. And it was interesting because we went outside there, it was in New Vrindavan, and we hadn't eaten all day, and the feast was gone by the time we actually left. But many devotees were passing out, many devotees were sleeping. Prabhupada chastised them for that. But what can you do? They've been working all day, some of them for 2 days straight and so forth. Everyone wanted the Prabhupada's association, but the problem, the ability, the strength, the spiritual, and whatever you want to call it, integrity or power or potency, was simply not there. So these were devotees who were serving Prabhupada constantly, trying to create a society at a time when society was not at all accepted in the material world. And they worked very, very hard. So to find fault with that, I remember one time Prabhupada, Jayananda fell asleep in Prabhupada's class. And Prabhupada said, let him sleep, he's working very hard. So like this, it's not a question of your perfect conduct in front of everyone, in front of even the spiritual master. It's a question of your sincerity and your determination to make service. And if someone is fallen in any kind of condition, the tolerance must be there. Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta said, humility, respect, and patience, that these three things are our only friends in pursuit of Hari Bhakti. So we don't try to make a strong rule and regulation in every circumstance, and then seek to punish those or reprimand those. Our pleasure is not in reprimanding others, but in the practice of the proper conduct ourselves.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Anybody else before we close? Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.